Just a few announcements before we open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. Welcome to our visitors. We're glad you're here. So glad to, if we haven't met, look forward to meeting you. I hope you'll get a welcome packet. There's also a little connection card in there. If you could fill that out and hand it to me or one of the pastors or ushers, they'll know where it goes. Ladies who teach junior church preschool, please meet with Arita after church for 10 minutes. We want to do the schedule for the summer for June, July, and August. And so she's planning ahead. Several people have mentioned this, but sometimes when we clap in church, we want to always make sure if we do clap, you don't have to clap. That's one thing, but none of what we do is a performance. Amen. So if we do clap, we're clapping for the Lord. And but feel free not to clap. Feel free to raise your hands. Feel free to pray. We want to make sure that God alone gets all the glory. Amen. I mentioned something about Bibles and tablets last week. There's nothing more spiritual about a paper Bible, just so everybody knows. But it's hard work to use a tablet. If you really want to get into a tablet or a phone, it's hard work to be disciplined, to pay attention to it. But I hope that you're doing something to take notes and take this word that has been given to you. And one of the things we're doing is teaching the youth to really study their Bibles. And so I hope that all of us as adults are taking notes, writing things down that are meaningful to us in the message. And then, you know, a good thing to do is after the message in your afternoon meal, do any of you meet to eat in the afternoon after? Do any of you eat? Well, if you do, that's a good time to talk about the message and what God has spoken. Not necessarily the points or all the human things that go into it, but what is God saying to you? So I want to encourage you, mark your Bible, meditate on your Bible, memorize your Bible. And so I want you to do that in the morning service as well. Also, these musical instruments on this platform are very expensive. And some of you are training on them, and you're fine to use them after the service if you are taking lessons and different things. But others are not, and they would really like to, and they're testing, and it's so much fun to play on these things. But let's try to make sure that we guard these instruments and be good managers of what God has given us. These aren't toys. So let's try to be careful about, you know, who is playing with these. Let's just say authorized personnel only. How's that? Is that okay? All right. And then just a couple more things. Our Bible study and prayer meeting is this week. We don't have small groups, so come to the church and we'll have a meeting at 7 p.m. for youth and for adults and for children. And then don't miss the memorial service this Saturday at 12:30 for Jedediah Rowe. 12:30 this Saturday. Aren't you glad you have the Word of God? It's so rich. It's so nourishing to our souls. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're talking about the calling of shepherds. And we said last week that chapter 5 is really a response from Peter, where he says in chapter 4, verse 17, that judgment begins at the house of God. Judgment begins at the house of God. What does that mean? It certainly doesn't mean condemnation, because the Bible says there is therefore now what? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who have the Spirit of God. So whatever judgment means, it cannot mean condemnation. So what does it mean? Well, it means examine me, Lord. Of course, judgment in that way must begin at the house of God. And of course, God's going to examine everybody. So that's why Peter says, if the righteous are scarcely saved, then what are we going to say about those who are lost? So that's why chapter 5 is written. Chapter 5 is an examination first of the elders and then of the people. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, what we're going to look at today is an examination of the shepherds and elders. And when it says elders, it does mean the office of an elder, but it also means any man who is mature in the faith. It means both. It's clear that he's speaking to officers because Peter says, I am also an elder. And I've seen the suffering of Christ. And I've partaken of his glory when he transfigured himself. But later on, he says, now, you younger people, you need to be humble. So we know he's not just talking about the office of elder, that these verses, as we preach today, are applicable to all male, mature brothers in Christ. And we are called to make disciples, aren't we? We're called to bring students under us. And in order to do that, you need to be able to have an integrity in your life. There needs to be a dignity about you. You need to take this seriously. And so with that in mind, let's all stand together as we read God's holy word in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. This is God's word. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. I'm just going to keep reading here. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. So the first thing that Peter says is you need to precede the flock. You need to go before the flock as mature men. You need to go before the flock. I have gone before the flock. I, Peter, am a fellow elder. He says, I exhort you. I plead with you. Please listen to this. Don't ignore this. If you ignore things in your life, this is something you don't want to ignore. Because eventually he's going to say, you're going to see this chief shepherd. The flock is not ours. The sheep are not ours. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. And all the other shepherds are just under shepherds. And so if you are maturing in the faith, if you are a Christian maturing in the faith, if you are a man leading in your life, you need to precede and set an example for the flock of God. In what way? Peter says, well, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder. He doesn't say I'm the first pope. He doesn't say you listen to me and dogmatically proclaim how he had followed Christ. He's saying, look, I'm just one of you. I'm just like you. I'm the same broken person that you are. And how many of you can attest that Peter's name is very strange for him? The Rock. If Peter is anything, he's not a rock. He's got the consistency of water, but he's called the Rock. He's swaying to and fro all over the place, but he's called the Rock. That's a nickname. Simeon is his name, hearer of God. He's heard a lot. But Jesus says, you know, you're going to be a rock. Isn't that beautiful that God can take the most inconsistent of characters like mine and yours and form us into a rock? Who else is called the Rock? Jesus is our rock. Paul says, just like the rock in the Old Testament that water flowed out of, Jesus is that same rock. And so we're being conformed into the image of Christ. So don't be discouraged this morning. I know your character sometimes is very inconsistent. Thankfully, that doesn't save us, folks. Self-righteousness never saved anybody. It's the righteousness of Jesus. And he's making you into a rock. It doesn't seem like that many days. But take heart that if God calls you to precede the flock, he's in you. And you're not going to do it. You're going to fail so much. But he's in you and he's going to do it through you. And he says, as a fellow elder, I exhort you, and as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Peter had an idea about the person and work of Christ that was partially accurate when he first met Jesus. Remember when Andrew met Peter. Andrew met Jesus. Peter's brother is Andrew. And he goes, we've seen the Messiah. We know the Messiah. And they go and gather their friends. And so he has this idea of who Jesus is. And when Jesus begins to tell what the prophets had predicted, that he would one day reign, but before he reigns, he has to bear a cross before he receives the crown. And Peter was not up with that. And so Peter's expectations of the person and work of Jesus Christ were dashed to pieces. I wonder if some of us here this morning have an incorrect view of the Christian life. Sometimes we think, oh, our God is so good, and he is good. Amen? But the problem is, what our understanding of good is, it's twisted. It's through our own heart. And God says, do not lean to your own understanding. The heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can even understand the depth of that depravity? Don't lean to your own heart. Don't understand what you should be doing as a Christian or who you are as a Christian according to your emotions, according to the difficulties and the outlook that you have seen. It's very messy. Peter had to learn this. I witnessed the sufferings of Christ, and it was absolutely the sovereign plan of God. In fact, it's so ironic with Christ and with us that in the worst times of our life, those become the best spiritual times. They're utterly devastating to us. We look at them and we say, oh, this must be God's punishment, when it's actually God's blessing. I saw the sufferings of Christ. And if you follow Christ, you're coming into union with Christ and you are living in this world. Christ says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Where's Jesus? I will build. How is he building his church? Oh, through his body. And so Jesus is in the world and he's being rejected every day through you. And he is suffering every day through you. And so rejoice, saints, when all hell breaks loose in your life and Satan is opposing you and you have even these things in your mind that are cosmically evil. And Satan is opposing you and trying to make you bend and break. You are one with Jesus. That's why you're suffering in this way. And don't think it's God's punishment towards you. It's actually his greatest blessing. Because he's with you and he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. You belong to him. You're part of this great blood-washed band of people. Peter says, I'm an elder just like you all. And I'm shepherding and feeding and leading in the flock of God. And I must precede. I must precede the flock. I must go before and join in with Christ in his sufferings. This is the way that God expands his kingdom. You grow and change into the image of Christ through suffering. and also through glory. He says, I've experienced, I'm a partaker of the glory that will one day be revealed. When the clouds separate and Jesus places his feet where he had before ascended there on the Mount of Olives. You can go there. You can see it's right in front of the eastern gate that he will walk through. And oh, they've barricaded that gate knowing that the Messiah will come. They think they can keep out the Messiah with a few bricks. But there's coming a day when even the Jews will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We'll all say it. Amen. Even those who pierced him. And we need to precede the flock, not only in suffering, but in glory. We are partakers, Peter says in 2 Peter 1. We are partakers of the divine nature. Ezekiel says, we've had a heart transplant. A new nature has been given to us. The old, stubborn nature has been eternally defeated. Not completely yet, because Jesus hasn't changed our nature completely, but it has been eternally and everlastingly defeated. Hallelujah. I will never be the person I used to be. You will never be that person. There are some days I really want to lift this weight off of you. There are some days when Satan goes, you're nothing. You're just a filthy sinner like you've always been, you big hypocrite. And you need to turn and speak the word of God. And you need to say, in Christ, I am chosen. In Christ, I am blessed. I am covered in the blood of Jesus. And no matter what you say to me, I will never be that person that I used to be. I am what I am by the grace of God, Paul says. I am what I am by the grace of God. If you are not experiencing the glory of Jesus, on a daily basis, not perfectly, but you got to open your Bible. We don't have Jesus in his human flesh right here with us. He's exalted in the heavens in his human flesh right now. But in order to make connection with him, of course, we have the Holy Spirit. God has given us his word, and we need to open up the word of God on a daily basis. And seek to commune and walk with Jesus. And we need to read God's word, certainly not for a check mark. That's idolatry. That's self-righteousness. That's not going to get you closer to the Lord. It's going to puff up your head. Knowledge puffs up. You need to open up the word and humble yourself before God. And you need to read the word until he reads you, until you melt, until your heart is connected with the Almighty. You need to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. So you need to precede the flock. But look at what he says. There's this glory that's going to be revealed, and he's been already a partaker in it. The glory at the second coming of Jesus is something you can partake in every day. Paul says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that dwells in you. Is that not glorious? If you have the presence of God, if you share in the presence of God through fellowship, that's what you need to walk in every day. And it's not an emotion. Sure, emotions follow. There's joy and love and peace. But there's also character traits. You know, patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. I missed one, gentleness. But all of those, there's a conforming of your character. And we need to be touching the glory that's one day going to be revealed. You see, the glory of the kingdom has come. It's already, but not yet. It's kind of like when I put my kids down for bedtime. Bedtime begins at around 6:30. And, you know, we have dinner and there's many battles along the way. There's the broccoli battle. You know, there's the you know, do you know your verses? So let's go around and see. What are you reading in the Bible? And there's the, you know, get in the bathtub and get cleaned up battle. There's which pajamas am I going to wear? None of the other ones have these battles, but Ava does. Well, is it pink tonight or is it the yellow unicorn pajamas? You know, which ones am I going to wear? And then there's which books are we going to read? And you know, what order are we going to read them? And we have catechism time and play time and joke time. And then there's the sleep battle. And then there's, oh, please, Lord, please let her fall asleep soon. You know, and at the same time, Jill is helping with Evan or vice versa. And, you know, we started at 6:30, maybe by 8:30, we go and we look at each other and we breathe a sigh of relief. That's kind of a simple illustration of what has happened when Jesus came to the earth and said, the kingdom has come. This is the good news. The kingdom that you read about in Daniel and in Isaiah and this powerful kingdom, it has come. This is the good news. Share it everywhere that you go. But you look around and there's a lot of battles. Well, the end has begun. The end has begun. And you get to participate in the benefits of the end of the kingdom now, which will one day fully be revealed. We need to precede the flock in new creation living. We live as if we're in the new creation, but we are definitely not yet in the new creation. Amen? We are part of the new creation, but we're not yet in the new creation. As you can see by our leadership on earth, as you can see as what is happening in our schools, as you can see in our communities, it is a devilish rebellion. The beast, the wild government that is described in Daniel has not yet been fully defeated. But King Jesus has already said, the end is near. My kingdom has come. And so let's participate. Let's be partakers. Let's precede the flock by being willing to suffer for Jesus. By not letting Satan twist all of our sufferings and say, oh, those are just punishments from God. Don't let Satan do that. The only reason that the children of God suffer is to be conformed into the image of Christ. Yes, he chastens us, but what is his motive? Is he annoyed with you? Absolutely not. God loves you. He loves you. And he gave his own son for you. So we precede the flock. But then he says in verse 2, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. If you are holding an older translation, maybe it says feed the flock. There's a lot that has to go into caring for sheep. In the Bible, God compares us right here to sheep. What do we know about sheep? Oh, I heard that. Sheep are dumb. I are one. I are a sheep. I are one. And sheep will just follow the other sheep. I read an article about something that took place in New Zealand. There's more sheep in New Zealand than there are people. And I heard about one sheep that jumped over the cliff. And 1,000 sheep were dead at the bottom of the cliff at the end of that day. We're all like that. We're compared to sheep in the Bible. Sheep are dumb. Sheep are dirty. Sheep get all kinds of things in their wool. Bugs can nest in their wool. All kinds of dangerous things like parasites can be in there. And they get dirty. And they're distracted. They can be completely distracted. That's why the shepherd calls them and constantly has to remind them of his voice. Because they could go wandering somewhere. But sheep God's sheep are divinely led. Aren't you thankful? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You are a sheep and you might be dumb and dirty and distracted, but you are divinely led. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You are loved by God, and by His grace, you have heard His voice, and Jesus will never lead you astray. Now, we may try to go a different way. We may try to wander. But doesn't it say, doesn't He say in the New Testament that He will leave the 99 and go after that one lost sheep? If you are one of God's, you can never be lost again. Now, those who are more mature, the sheep, we need to feed the sheep. We need to feed the sheep with the Word of God. Amen? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you are maturing in Christ, you may not have the gift of being a teacher or an exhorter, but you are to feed the flock. The elders of our church are called to feed the flock. And I love our elders because I try to get to your homes and I can't make it everywhere, but I hear this elder has been over here and this elder has been over there. And they do that not because we have some master list. We do have a little bit of that, but that's not the driving force. They do it because of the call of the Holy Spirit on their lives. And they are laying their lives down and they have spiritual vision. And who needs help and who needs feeding? Can I just say, if the only feeding that you get is once a week on Sunday morning, you are starving. And that does not have any reflection against our church. We are giving you a veritable restaurant here of the Word of God. But it's just like in your own life. Do you just eat one meal a week? It's obvious. So if I know that I need to live by bread, yes, we all need to eat good food. Same, how much more do we need to eat God's Word? And so you come to the services to be edified, and it's almost like culinary class. This is how you read the Word. You need to read the Bible in context. You can't just pick out a verse and say whatever you want. We learn about how to interpret the Bible when we come to church through faithful preaching, the right dividing of God's Word, the leading of the way. You know, we're not going to go out and sacrifice a lamb after the service today just because we read about that in Leviticus. But we understand that that was for a time and a place and pointing to a greater reality of Jesus, who is the Lamb of God. So we have to come here for our understanding, for our meal together and our union as a group. But we need to learn how to feed ourselves at home. And as fathers, can I speak to you? As husbands, can I speak to you? You have people in your home that you are responsible for. And let me just say this, shepherd the flock that is in your home. Jonathan Edwards said that every home is a little church. And so shepherd the flock of God that is in your home. Husbands, you are accountable to shepherd your wives. Men who are single, be someone that is ready to shepherd one day, because you never know. You say, I'm never getting married. Only God can say never. You can't say it. God may want you to be married. Single lady, you need to be ready to feed on the Word. You need to be ready. You need to be doing that now. So we need to feed from the Word. We need We need to be bold. We need to have everything in this word. We need to not be ashamed of what is in this word. We need to be balanced. You can't just feed on your favorite parts of the Bible. Well, I really like the Psalms. Yes, we all like the Psalms. Well, I like the Proverbs. They're so wise. Yes. Well, I really like the Gospels. Yes, I love the Gospels. But we need to be reading. Oh, I'm scared of the book of Revelation. I'm staying away from that. Oh, there's a blessing in the book of Revelation. Oh, the prophets intimidate me. Well, maybe that's a little bit stronger meat, but you need to be feeding on the word regularly through each genre of the Bible. Maybe in the morning you read in the Old Testament, and in the evening you read in the New. Maybe in the middle of the day you read a psalm. There's many different Bible guides that you can use. Be feeding on the Word of God in a balanced way. And let me just say that not everything in the Bible is perfectly clear, but everything that you need for salvation, for a life of godliness in Christ, is all there. The Bible is the sufficient Word of God. Amen? It says, my grace is sufficient for you. He says, we have the power of God that will lead us into life and godliness through the word. So shepherd the flock of God, he says, that is among you. Exercising oversight. So we're not only to feed the flock and precede the flock, we're to lead the flock of God. Exercising oversight. What is oversight? Well, in the New Testament, the word is named in the pastoral epistles. It says, if you desire the office of an overseer, you desire a noble office. We might say watchman. If you were to go to Jerusalem today, or really any of the ancient cities of the world, there's walls around the city, right? Even China has a great wall. And on top of the wall, there are like little, it looks like castle things on top. Castle things, is that a thing? Whatever it is, there's little openings, right? And every wall looks like that. Why? Because what is happening on the wall? There are overseers, there are watchmen. And why do they need to have a wall and then an opening and then a wall and then an opening? Why do they have to have walls like that? Because there's fiery arrows fired at them. And they need to have a place to hide. And they need to have a place to look. And they need to turn around and warn everybody, the enemy is here, the enemy has come. That's what we as mature Christians are to be doing. Do you know the word in Hebrew for Christian is watchman? That's what they call Christians. Watchmen. And they actually were calling police in Israel, watchmen. And then somebody said, you know, Christians are called watchmen. So they kind of changed the name of what they call the police officially in Israel now. Because like, there's the Christians. They're always watching over everybody. That's what we are. We're watchmen. Doesn't the Bible say that in Ephesians that we're fitly joined together? And as we live in that way, watching out for each other, we build each other up in love. We are watchmen. We lead the flock. Let me get back to my notes so we end on time. We lead the flock of God. It says, exercising oversight. We lead with engagement. That means that we don't just see the battle coming. We engage with those with whom we're watching over and we warn them. We exercise oversight. We engage. And this is how we grow in Christ. We cannot cut ourselves off from the rest of the body. Now, how many of you are kind of one of those, you don't have to raise your hand, but just how many of you are introverted people and you just need some time to yourself? How many of you are extroverted people and you know when you're totally exhausted because you start getting Instead of getting energy from people, you start getting irritated with them. We all have some measure of a need for privacy and isolation. Is that right? I mean, that's not all bad. But if that becomes your way of life, you're kind of like an appendage of your body with a tourniquet on it. And while at first it feels good not to have all that pain, it's all numb, then comes disuse. Listen, we need each other, and yes, it is painful. Sometimes church or family or those you're very closely related to, those are the most painful relationships. But they're also the most beneficial. Can I get an amen? Because it is through those relationships that God humbles us. And it's kind of like 1,000 mirrors all around. And we're like, oh, God, am I really like that, Father? Did that just come out of my mouth? Do I really act that way? I mean, I thought I was so spiritual until I got married. And I realized how selfish I was. And then I had kids and I realized, whoa, I have so much more to grow. And God is slowly growing me. And I love my wife so much more than I did before. I love my children so much more than on the day of their birth. And every day it grows more and more because God is helping me to get rid of selfishness in my life. I exercise oversight through engagement. I have to engage. You have to engage. Some of you, somebody calls you a member of the church, and there's some maybe that you pick up the phone right away, and there's others that you're like, we'll let that go to voicemail, you know? Can I encourage you that God is sovereign and you need to pick up the phone? So many blessings that we miss because we don't want to get messy. Well, it's kind of like jambalaya. There's all this mess and you don't know what's in it until you start searching. And oh, there's a piece of shrimp and there's chicken. And I'm not sure what that is. But is that alligator? That was interesting. You know, relationships are like this. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff and some things you like more than others. But you have to engage. We have to engage with each other. And we also to the sufferings and partaken of the glory. So all of us, when we come to know Jesus, we want to tell the whole world about him. But you can't just be a leader just because you want to be a leader. You have to go through the suffering. You have to partake in the glory. And yes, all of us should be a leader in at least one way. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Ava can do that if she's born again. Let the little ones come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Some, even a 3-year-old can preach the gospel and lead. A little child shall lead them. A little child can lead a lost world. And in that way, a little child is so much more wise than an Albert Einstein who knows the glories of the universe but doesn't know the God of the universe personally. You see? And so we need to have experience. We need to be receiving every trial, every difficulty in our lives as a way of training us to lead. And so just remember, we just need to let God exalt us, right? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will exalt you. He will lift you up. He will use you. He will bring you to a place where you're usable. And then we need to lead not only with engagement and experience, but we need to lead with enthusiasm. He says, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly. Some of us are naturally enthusiastic And that drives the non-enthusiastic people crazy. It's like, okay, not everything is awesome. Right? I'm kind of like that, and I'm sorry. Sometimes I have to apologize for my personality. But this is not talking about personality. This willingness, this joy, this gladness is about being in God. That's what enthusiasm in the English language means. I love the word enthusiasm. En theos, in God. Do this, even though it's hard. Lead the flock of God. Exercise oversight. Get in the saddle and lead the way. You're scared half out of your wits sometimes, but get in the saddle and go because God is with you. Do it willingly. Don't do it under compulsion. Well, I have to do this. I've got the Elijah syndrome. I'm the only one left. And God knows that there are 7,000 who have not bowed their knee. There are 7,000 enthusiastic people for God. They're in God. Lead with effort. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. It takes effort to lead. A farmer gets milk out of the cows. Why? Because he gets up and he milks them while everyone else is sleeping. If you want to see yourself grow and you want to see this group of believers around you grow, then you got to want it bad enough. You got to want it and put the effort into it. Not just ordering people around, like it says, not domineering, but being an example. You say, we need more fellowship in this church. Isn't it easy to complain? Why don't you get here at 9 o'clock before Sunday school and fellowship with people for a half an hour before Sunday school? If you want more fellowship, you have to use effort. It's easy to complain. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like my father and I, you know, he would cook steak and pork chops on the weekend. Not every weekend, but many weekends. And, you know, here we are, we're having, you know, hamburger helper one weekend. And I'm like, Dad, why can't we have steak and pork chops? And he's like, go get a job and go get a grill and make them, my son. Effort. It takes effort. And you lead by example. You want to see people grow and change in Christ. Then you need to take the effort. Get into the Word. And then people will see that. You want more fellowship? Stop complaining. Invite people to your house. Well, boy, that's a lot of work. I got to make a meal and plan ahead. It's right, you do. But it's worth it, isn't it? You gotta give forth effort if you're going to lead. And when you get tired, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Effort with enthusiasm and an example. Be an example. Not domineering over those who are in your charge, but be an example. An example is a prototype, a mold to be duplicated. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4:12, he says this to young Timothy. He says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. He says, be an example. Teach the Word. Be an example in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Be an example in what you say. And then finally, shepherds are called to receive a crown for the flock. Verse 4, for when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. We are going to give an account to the chief shepherd. We're connected with each other here as members of God's flock. And we're meeting together. We're encouraging one another. We're rejoicing and weeping with one another, aren't we? And it's hard work. But we all belong to the chief shepherd. We do our best in shepherding one another. And I want to do so much more for you as a shepherd. Sometimes I wake up and I feel so limited. There's so many gifts in the body of Christ and so many different kinds of shepherds. And sometimes I wish I could do more for you. And I try and I fail. And God says, "Oh, Matt, you're just what I made you to be. And you're never going to be anything more, anything less. But just exercise the gifts that you have and stir up. Kindle the fire that I've given you." That's all we can do. I'll never be someone else. I'll only be what God has made me to be. And I only have the gifts that God has given me. And I'm going to use them to the best of my ability. But listen, it doesn't depend on me. He's the chief shepherd. And I just need to yield and let Him use me. He uses the most infantile, weak people, doesn't He? And He does that so He gets all the glory. We're going to appear before the chief shepherd. So we need to take an account for one another. We're going to give an account. The Bible says that the elders are going to give an account for the flock. When I read that, I tremble. There are things that I'm missing in your life. There are things that are slipping through the cracks, and I repent. I repent before you, Living Hope Bible Church. I repent. I'm trying to help you. But you know what? I'm just a man. But I'm so glad we have the chief shepherd. And it says that we're going to receive a crown of glory. We're going to receive a crown of glory. The Bible describes the elders in the book of Revelation as receiving crowns. And what do they do with those crowns? They cast them before the Lord. In the Greco-Roman world of Peter's day, crowns were given. They were just laurel wreaths. And they were temporary and fading crowns. But the Bible says that we're going to have an unfading crown of glory. What is that unfading crown of glory? Is it a literal crown? Maybe. But I think ultimately the unfading crown of glory is those whom we stand before the Lord with, who have been brought into the kingdom and conformed into the glorious image of Jesus. That's my highest crown that I can have. So I am not a great preacher in any way. Please don't expect that of me. I sometimes have listened to my own sermons and it's painful to me. And I'm so sorry you have to endure that. I'm so sorry. That is not my gift. I wish it was. But it's not my gift. My gift is to get you into the kingdom, to make sure that you are regenerate. And if I can get you there, and if I can use my gifts in that way, and we all meet there at the last day, and I'll say, "Oh God, look at them, they look like Jesus, in spite of me." And I'll receive that crown, not because of me. Jesus chased me down. He found me. He wasn't lost. I was lost. I didn't find Him. He found me and He called me and He put the Spirit of God in my heart. And I said, if this is true, then every person on planet Earth needs to know this and they need to come into the kingdom. And that's the gift that God gave me. And that's the one I have. And so if I can see you and your children and your children's children come into the kingdom, you're the crown that will be glorious on the day when the chief shepherd appears. And if all I am is a staff that brings people in, pick me up, Jesus. Use me as a staff. Hallelujah. Think of Think of Peter, who wrote this. God used him mightily. Isn't that amazing? Changed the man who had completely inconsistent character and made him a rock. May the Lord do that with all of us. And may Jesus, the chief shepherd, receive all the glory. Amen. Let's stand together. Your word. And we ask, Lord, that you would shepherd us. And Lord, there are some among us that are feeling neglected. Would you bring those to our mind? We don't know who they are, but they feel neglected here this morning. Oh, our good shepherd, we ask that you would knit our hearts together that we might know each other so that we can comfort each other. Lord, would you forgive us where we have fallen so short of this high standard? Would you indwell us in a mighty way where we know that we're indwelt, but would you make your presence known and manifest to us in a renewed way and give us the opportunity to shepherd one another and bring us to a level of joy in our lives because of your presence, to fellowship with you, to commune with your suffering, and to touch the glorious hem of your garment. Oh, Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.